Hi, hey, hello, and welcome to the third season of A Colts Podcast. My name's Brandon. I'm joined here by your co-host, my best friend, Andrew Moore. We are heading into our third offseason, formerly known as the Educated Fan, then known as the Educated Fan. And now we're just a Colts Podcast, babies, presented by Sports Illustrated. Hope you guys like that new animation in the intro. Shout out Randall Stone, buddy, for that. Andrew, here we are. Offseason number three. The grind's about to begin again. This whole extra, you know, week of the NFL gave me one less week off. But I'm glad to be here. Glad to be recording with you. How are you, brother? Long time no see.
I'm doing great, man. That intro, that animation, fantastic. Shout out to Randall. That was
shout
awesome.
Out Randall. Who's been on the show?
He has been on the show.
Like almost a year ago. It was draft.
Yeah, exactly. But excited to be back. Excited for season three of the show. Excited for season three of covering the Indianapolis Colts. And we left and there was a lot of questions. There's still a lot of questions. Not many of them have been answered. But I can tell you this. Things are about to ramp up as we enter into one of my favorite times of the year. It's smokescreen season. Oh, where God. All...
I didn't all even see it coming. I didn't even see it coming.
All the rumors are out there. Everybody's going to be talking about their sources. But yeah, it's going to be a wild time. So excited to be back. Excited to see you, man. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Not bad. Work's been crazy, you know. A lot of change there. But not too bad. I mean, I enjoyed my week off. You know, I had a few drinks, a few days, which is not unlike weeks that we don't have off. So I'm just excited to be back. Talk a little football. I was real out of the loop this week. I mean, I don't know how many times I got on Twitter. Honestly, I could probably count on one hand how many times I got on Twitter. It was really enjoyable. Can't wait to see what kind of new faces and comments we bring into this show and what kind of idiots we have to deal with and what kind of awesome fans we earn the respect of. We'll see.
Speaking of our viewers, our loyal viewers, shout out to Stats Matt, because while we were away, him and his wife had a baby. So hey, congrats to Stats Matt and Mrs. Stats Matt.
Mrs. Stats Matt.
Great to see you. Congrats to you guys.
Don't forget, if you're new here, probably not, because I'm bad at my job. And I did not do a good job of getting things out early today. But if you're new here today, or if you're watching later, don't forget to follow us at A Colts Podcast on Twitter, Instagram. Go check us out on Facebook. We're going to get that content ramp back up. Maybe Andrew will do his job as a Twitter manager, maybe tweet out a few things here and there, other than when episodes are coming out. So, Andrew, NFL 2022 Combine starts Thursday. Next week?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, Thursday, all day affair. It's becoming quite the thing. Fans are allowed now for certain hours. You have to buy tickets. Can't believe you're not making that happen. What are you looking forward to this week with the Combine?
Well, basically, the Combine's already started. All the teams and all the media have been down in Indianapolis since Monday. And we've heard from all the general managers and the head coaches around the league. We've heard from Chris Ballard. We've heard from Frank Reich on the Colts side of things. And it really is a week-long event where not only are teams there to interview prospects, see them perform on the field, but this is a lot of times where deals start to be made for coming up on free agency. Trades can be the process of trades becoming a reality. This is kind of the time when a couple years ago, the Colts and the 49ers started their talks to get DeForest Buckner traded to the Indianapolis Colts. It all kind of started here at the Combine. So it's an area where really the off season for the NFL really gets underway. So I'm excited to kind of see what comes out of this. I'm excited to see the prospects, specifically the quarterbacks, the wide receivers, the tight ends, some of the edge rushers, guys that could be taken by the Indianapolis Colts here in the draft come April. So there's a lot of things going on down there in Indy, and it really starts with this combine, whether it's the draft or free agency. This is kind of where everything gets in motion.
Yeah, and it's a damn shame that we're going to be talking soon about how it's, you know, not in Indy anymore. It's going to end up in Vegas and LA. And don't get me wrong, those are some beautiful stadiums. But correct me if I'm wrong, Andrew, not all these guys get a paid ride and trip to the combine, right? These guys got to get themselves there, correct?
Correct.
Doesn't make sense to move it from the centerpiece of the country, the place it's been for so long, beautiful, still one of the top most beautiful stadiums, best stadium experiences in the league. Statue of the best quarterback of all time, right out front. Seems silly to move it away, but it's going to happen.
Yeah, and I think it even goes farther than that. Just the stadium, Indianapolis has all the medical resources there, because it kind of gets into what our first point is, really the main purpose and the biggest thing for this combine is all the doctors are able to see these prospects and get full medical reports on them. And the way Indianapolis is with IU Health down there and everything being central to downtown, you've got over 300 prospects there and you're getting scans and medical reports on every single one of them. And they just have the resources there. The fiber optic cables that were put underneath Lucas Oil Stadium that can send MRI images to IU Health in a matter of minutes, if that. So it's going to be a challenge for other cities to be able to match what Indianapolis can do, because you said LA and Las Vegas. I mean, LA traffic year round is awful.
Yeah, I was gonna go into the traffic next. I mean, it's unbelievable how easy it is to get in and out of Indianapolis. Don't get me wrong, like you and I are like, oh, the inconvenience of an extra 45 minutes on a drive home from a full Lucas Oil game. You know what I mean? Like, that's not even that bad. I mean, LA, if you live on the wrong side of town, it can take you 2 to 3 hours to get to the airport. You know what I mean? It's unbelievable. Right. So, especially once you get down into LA, it's no thanks. It doesn't make sense logistically for sure. But the fact that it's transitioning into more of a show, horse and pony show, basically, that's why it's going to go to those markets.
Right. And well, you and I have both been in Indianapolis, and if you haven't been to Indianapolis, the downtown area, I mean, that's what another thing that makes it so convenient for personnel and for media is because these guys that they're spending their evenings at the bar, they're going to St. Elmo's, they're going to Harry and Izzy's, they're enjoying a fat steak and they're conversing. You can go between those steakhouses, those bars, you can just walk across the street. It's all central to downtown, and it makes it easy for a lot of people to congregate in one area and be able to share information. I don't know if you can do that in other cities. So I think that's going to be a huge disadvantage and something that the teams are really not going to enjoy having to go to different cities. So, I mean, the Colts are still one of the teams that are in the running.
Not to mention, you're going to get a bunch of 21-year-old kids, 22-year-old kids in a shit ton of trouble in Vegas. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way that doesn't go poorly.
Right. But it's the way of the NFL. We'll see if this works out where they do end up moving it from city to city. But in my opinion, Indianapolis is the best place to have it.
So, yeah, the medicals and the interviews are the most important part of this process, Andrew. We talk about it for the Colts especially all the time. But, I mean, realistically, most of these teams, the coaches themselves, some of them only come just to go party. I mean, this is kind of like the coach's party time, and they just kind of go. I mean, yeah, they go watch and they pay attention. They write down numbers. But at the end of the day, I mean, they get all this from pro days from guys they really care about. So like you said, the medical is and the interviews are the most important. And this is where our assistant GM gets a lot of his work in.
Ed Dodds.
Yeah, he does a lot of his casing and information grabbing during this period as well.
Ed Dodds is always there. Ballard's always there. You mentioned the interviews, and this is where Brian Decker is really involved.
Oh yeah, Decker. That's who I was thinking of too.
kind of in those interviews, really gauging the guy's football character and their internal makeup, how mature the guy is, how much they really love the game of football and love playing for their teammates. This is where his methods and his interviewing abilities really shine. And it's where these prospects can really show what they're made of and show what they're what football means to them, to these teams and specifically the Indianapolis Colts. So definitely the interviews and the medicals, I would say, are way more important than what we're going to watch on TV. Guys running 40s, guys doing drills. And I mean, that is important. Don't get me wrong.
Rich run,
obviously, but getting that hands-on time, and it's not a lot of time, but being able to like a quarterback, for example, getting him on the whiteboard, being able to see how fast he can dissect the defense or get through a play, things like that. That's very important to teams.
So, I mean, is there anything else on that specifically you want to talk about? I imagine we're going to go through the schedule here. I imagine you've got guys that you're excited to take a look at.
Yeah, I got a few, but it really just kind of the schedule laying out when certain position groups are going. And really for the Colts specifically, tomorrow night, Thursday night, is going to be a big night because that's when the quarterbacks, the wide receivers, and the tight ends are all doing on-field work. And the Colts have needs at all three of those positions. I mean, quarterbacks, it's not an elite quarterback group, for sure, but there's a lot of unanswered questions for these quarterbacks. Wide receivers, the Colts definitely need some wide receiver help behind Michael Pittman Jr. And of course the tight end position, where Jack Doyle, still not sure if he's going to retire or not. Mo Alie-Cox is a free agent. This is a deep tight end group, and I'd be shocked, honestly, if the Colts don't dip into this tight end group sometime within the draft, because there's a lot of solid guys, whether you're looking for a Jack Doyle type, more of a guy that can stretch the field in the middle. It seems like this draft has plenty of value there for the tight end position. So tomorrow night, I think, we're in quarterbacks, wide receivers, and tight ends, that's going to be the big night for the Colts.
So let's talk about anybody in the quarterback class this year that you think realistically, definitely not, I mean, we don't have a first round pick, but there's nobody I think the Colts would jump after in the first round anyhow, right?
I don't think so. You never want to rule out if they fall in love with a guy and want to trade into the end of the first round to make sure they get that guy with that fifth year option, they could. But I really don't see it. I mean, this quarterback group is there's just not a top guy. There's not the Joe Burrows, the Trevor Lawrences. I've seen a lot of mock drafts where there's not a quarterback taken within the first 10 picks. So obviously I don't think a guy like Kenny Pickett is there. I don't know if a guy like Malik Willis will be there. Maybe somebody like a Desmond Ridder from Cincinnati, Carson Strong from Nevada. I've seen him linked to the Colts a lot. Even a guy like Matt Corral, someone but I think he has a chance to even go in the teens to early 20s. So this quarterback class is just all over the board, and it seems like all teams have different values on these guys. Wide receiver, I'm thinking second day. Thinking guys like Christian Watson out of North Dakota State. Thinking guys like maybe a John Mechie from Alabama. Guys like that. Maybe even a Wandale Robinson from Kentucky. A guy that's a little bit smaller, but man, he's got some speed and he can make plays. And then tight ends, you got Trey McBride from Colorado State. You've got guys like Jeremy Ruckert from Ohio State, who I'm a big fan of, and a guy that's basically Jack Doyle 2.0, Jake Ferguson out of Wisconsin.
Friday, we got do you have any tight ends specifically that you're – I mean, there's no
– Well, that was the tight ends.
Tight ends. Yeah. I was going to say there's no Kyle Pitts coming out this year, but no. Friday running backs, I don't think we'll be looking at anybody set at the best running back in the league. Offensive line, probably going to be some eyes on some left tackles.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe some right guards.
Maybe some right guards, but I mean, from what the comments that Ballard and Reich said, I mean, it sounds like the right guard's probably on this roster already. Very well could be Danny Pinter from what we were hearing. But I really think the left tackle position is obviously going to be something the Colts look at. So Sean Rayan, a guy out of UCLA, someone that I think could really fit with the Colts.
What are you watching this weekend, Andrew? When you're watching these guys that you think the Colts might go after, what are you looking at in the combine out of these dudes? I mean, are you just looking at the numbers of these guys, or is there something specific that you know really gets you going and excited
For offensive linemen? Okay, for offensive linemen, specific left tackle, you definitely want to look at the measurements, because for a left tackle, you want a guy with long arms, typically.
Hey, I'm talking about the combine specifically.
This is the combine. There's measurements in the combine.
For shit's sake.
I'm getting to it. You want a guy with longer arms, a guy that's more athletic. So you definitely want to see some explosion if they do the broad jump. That's something, because you want guys that are quick out of their stance. You want to see guys that don't have too tight of hips. You want to see guys that kind of watch their feet to make sure they've got good
three-cone drill.
Three-cone drill, more specifically for edge rushers, for me.
Yeah.
Have you seen Quiddy Pace three-cone drill? It's incredible. But faster than Tom Brady. Yeah, you want to see guys with their footwork, just guys that are under control. Obviously, you want to see guys that are really aggressive, really alert, things of that nature when you're looking for the offensive lineman. Really, what you're going to see out of the linemen is more at the pro day, and more kind of this stuff that their measurements and then their game film rather than their testing numbers.
All right. And Saturday, defensive line linebackers might be an important day for us.
Yeah, I definitely think the Colts will be looking at both pass rushers and interior linemen, because as of right now, behind DeForest Buckner and Grover Stewart, there really isn't anybody as far as in the middle of that defensive line. So I'm sure there's going to be guys there. This edge class has plenty of guys in it. You see edge players going in mock drafts all throughout the first, second, and third rounds.
Yeah.
Very deep edge classes, along with offensive tackle. I've seen five offensive tackles in the first round, and then possibly five more in the second. So it's another deep class for offensive tackles as well. And as far as linebackers concerned, Colts are pretty set there, but they might look to add a Sam linebacker in those base 4-3 packages.
And then Sunday, the most important day, defensive backs, kickers, and of course, punters.
Hey, for the brand.
Brand day at the combine.
The Colts probably always going to be looking for cornerbacks, And I think a position group that's being overlooked is safety, because the Colts need safety depth, especially in a Gus Bradley, defense where he likes to at times deploy three safeties. So you're going to want to see guys and that have range to play that deep Julian Blackman area. Also guys that are willing to come up in the box where Kari Willis will typically play. But with Blackman and Willis's injury history, you got to have guys back there that are willing, that can fill in if any of those guys go down.
I think that's a really good point about the depth of that position, because realistically our top two guys we really like, but we just can't seem to keep them on the field for the whole year.
Could be a selection in the fourth or fifth round. Just a guy that not necessarily is going to blow the doors off anybody. But hey, if he's got athletic traits, if he's a smart football player, if he's willing to play special teams, because you know in those later picks the Colts love guys that play special teams, it could be a good fit in Indianapolis.
All right, that it. Combine done. Combine this weekend.
That's kind of the overlay of the combine. Hey, I know
it's going to be more and more viewer friendly every year. So just give it a shot. You never watch a combine, throw it on this weekend. Yeah. Give it a little look.
Absolutely. Hey, look who it is. Stats Matt coming in late. You missed us congratulating you on your newborn child,
but congrats on the sex.
Jesus.
Congrats. Mrs. Stats Matt is what Andrew said earlier.
Mrs. Stats Matt, congrats.
All right. Moving along. The guy's late. I mean, come on. What's he got, a kid or something? Ballard and Reich talked the combine to the media. We got some updates, maybe, on Carson Wentz. We got some talk about defensive coaching hires talking about adding some playmakers on offense. Andrew, I think Carson Wentz is not going to be the quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts. Holy shit.
I told you, man.
Chris Ballard. I mean, who was it? Who was it to? Was it Wells? Super low class reporter Mike Wells. I think he put Chris Ballard in a box for a second there. Chris went. I mean, he had Chris thinking. Chris was like, well, you know, that's not what I'm saying. But
Wells,
I mean,
Wells basically asked, do you guys not believe in Carson Wentz if you're wanting to move off of him? So Wells came out firing. But
yeah,
I mean, this is kind of what I was saying back after Ballard had his presser. And I told you this, and this is why I made this as my prediction. It just, you got to read the tea leaves. Ballard does this every single year where he's going to tell you what they're thinking, and he's not going to come out and say it, but you got to just read between the lines.
He was much more blunt today or yesterday, I think, than he was in the postseason presser.
The way that he did not come out and back Carson Wentz and say that he's the guy, the way that Frank Reich didn't say that he's the guy, and Frank, how that was.
Go ahead.
And how that was echoed yesterday when Ballard and Reich both took the stand and both spoke to the media. Neither one of them really backed Carson Wentz and said that he is our guy for 2022. And I think that's all you need to say. You need to hear. It doesn't matter. It seems like if there's another guy out there, I think we need to start thinking and accepting the fact that the Colts could move on from Carson Wentz and take a step back at quarterback. There doesn't necessarily need to be a guy out there that's better than
Carson Wentz. He just kept saying, we're going to do what's best for this team, short-term and long-term. That's all he said. Frank, I do think, was a little more defensive of Carson this time around. If not that, then he was definitely more defensive of the decision that was made and him taking ownership of that decision. He said, hey, right, I had a lot to do with that choice. I stuck my neck out for him.
I really like that. I like that Frank Reich goes and says, like, hey, I stuck my neck out for him. I was the main guy that wanted to bring him here. And it's not like he's trying to hide behind anything, which I really like. He's taking ownership of it. Now, I wanted to ask you this. So when they asked Ballard if they were all in agreement of what to do with Wentz, and he said we're having healthy discussions, which means they're not all in agreement.
No, I could imagine that Irsay is like, figure something out right now. Ballard is saying, listen, Jim, I can get you off of Carson Wentz this year. I can't promise you anything this year, maybe next year. And I think Frank Reich's going, I'm telling you, we can still make this work. We can still make it work. At least give him one more year. I think that's probably the dynamic in that room. But I agree with what Chris said, too. I mean, if we're all agreeing, you know, bad things happen.
Right. I think you're right there. I think that Frank Reich would probably be willing to run it back with Wentz again for a second year. But we can guarantee that Irsay is off of Wentz, and I don't think Ballard wants to go back with Wentz too. And Ballard's going to be the one that ends up making that decision. I mean, he said that on Dan Dockett's show today, that ultimately he's the guy that makes that final decision. And as of right now, I don't think the writing is on the wall. I think if you're looking at those press conferences and you're still believing that Carson Wentz is going to be the quarterback in 2022, I think you're kind of just kidding yourself at this point. And like I said, they don't necessarily.
The bad thing about that is they're killing his trade value by, you know, by not hyping him up, by not saying this is our guy. We don't give a shit.
Well, I mean, Frank Reich was talking about that. He thinks he still has good quarterback play left in him. So whether it's here, whether it's with another team, I still believe in Carson Wentz.
And I'll tell you what, Chris Ballard practically said in a straight sentence, Carson Wentz is not a long-term, Chris Ballard is not a long-term solution. Did I say Chris Ballard? Carson Wentz is not a long-term solution. I mean, he might as well have said that straight out. He said, I don't know, but we knew what he meant. I question Carson's ability to come back from this if he does end up be the quarterback again. I mean, he just crumbled in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Ballard's enough, or I don't think Frank Reich's enough to keep him his head on straight, unless he's matured just astoundingly the last couple of years. I don't see it.
Yeah, I really don't see it either. And at this point, I think it is best if the two sides just move on. And I think we have to accept the fact as well that even though there isn't there might not be a clear upgrade out there. And just like we've got a comment here that says, does it make sense for them to move on without a clear upgrade? That doesn't seem like a Ballard move. It doesn't, but at the same time,
gain in a year without a quarterback as good as Carson, as good as Phillip Rivers, as good as Jacoby Brissett, even what do we have to gain by that, Andrew? Draft capital.
There's draft capital out there. And do I think the Colts are going to regain what they got for Carson Wentz? Hell no, absolutely not. I think if they can get a third round pick, I would take that. I would take that for Carson Wentz, but it doesn't necessarily mean that even though the Colts are getting rid of Carson Wentz, that they're going to be getting an upgrade at quarterback. I think fans really need to start accepting the fact that the Colts could go backwards at quarterback in 2022. I mean, you look at this free agent class, it's not that great. I think at this point you're looking and Teddy Bridgewater or Mitch Trubisky are your Jameis Winston. Those are probably my three best options in free agency. So it's either
three of those people. I think Mitch Trubisky had a really shitty head coach. I do not like Matt Nagy. He had one good year. I don't believe in his play calling ability. I do believe in Frank Reich's. I do believe in Frank Reich's ability to make use of the tools he has. I think Mitch Trubisky would be an ultimate show of how good Frank Reich is. Ultimate show. I think the Kyler Murray possibilities, if those are still alive, maybe. I doubt it, but I don't love Teddy. You know, I think he's a more mobile Jacoby Brissett. Which I mean, that makes him more mobile than Jacoby Brissett.
I think still he's not very mobile. But yeah, I just think that's a very big possibility because. Yeah. Unless they're going to get one of the top guys, like
I don't know that
Aaron Rodgers or Russell backwards. Wilson, and. You know, they might not be, but unless they get Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, this isn't going to be a big offseason. And there's a good possibility that both those guys stay put. I mean, honestly, for myself, I don't know if I'd want to give draft capital for Jimmy Garoppolo because I still think you're in the middling quarterback purgatory. It's either you get one of the elite guys or you kind of reset everything, get as much draft capital as possible, and then go for 2023, which has a quarterback class that has Bryce Young in it. It's got CJ Stroud. Those two alone would be the top pick in this draft coming out this year. So the next year's quarterback class is going to be a good one. You load up on draft capital. You take a flyer on a guy. If he works out, great. If not, you cut bait. You have a bunch of draft capital. You can go make a run at whichever quarterback you fall in love with in the 2023 draft.
What about the Blue Stampede report from today about liking the Colts liking two quarterback prospects in the draft?
So that was from the Blue Stable. Dustin Adams and Rashad McGinnis reported that today, but. I mean, it's possible. I mean, I don't know. It just seems like with this quarterback class, I don't know if the Colts would really be in love with any of them just because it doesn't seem like any of them have elite traits. And I mean, shoot, everything's a crapshoot at this point with these quarterbacks in any draft because you don't know which ones are going to be good and which ones aren't. But at the same time, it just seems like if you're going to go after a quarterback in the draft and if you're going to use draft capital to move up for a quarterback, you'd probably do it in 2023.
Defensive coaching hires. Ballard never even got around to really talking about any of the hires or changes, did he?
I think he did. He talked about Richard Smith coming on as the linebackers coach, and he talked about Ron Miles coming on as the defensive backs coach. With Ron Miles, I think you're going to see what James Rowe put in place. I'm super excited about Ron Miles, and I think he's just going to take this secondary group to another level. But really, it was Frank Reich, because Frank Reich has been the one for, he said it's been a pretty much a full-time job for the past 2.5 weeks of him and Gus Bradley going through these interviews and getting the defensive staff together. But we know we've already talked about Richard Smith being the linebackers coach, Ron Miles, defensive backs coach. Both those guys came from Las Vegas with Gus Bradley. And I guess this kind of incorporates with some of the news that we're going to talk about. But let's start with the most important position coach that I think is going to be on this defense, and it's Nate Oley, the defensive line coach. It's a risk for sure, because Nate Oley has never been a position coach in the NFL before. He's been an assistant defensive line coach, but this guy's young. He's getting his shot. It seems like
I have to correct this. Hirsch wrote, I'm sorry, buddy. He says Reich and Ballard are fine if they take a step back. Apparently he had a typo. He meant fired. No, they're not.
I wouldn't say they are.
They're just not.
I would probably say, if I had to pick somebody
on that thin ice, maybe
more on the hot seat, I'd probably say Reich over Ballard, because Reich was the one that stuck his neck out for Wentz and it didn't work out. But I still don't see any of them being fired.
If anything, I think if they're taking a step back and they know it realistically, like Jim Irsay knows that, and Jim Irsay saying, okay, fine, you've got one more year, like one more offseason to make this team better for 2023. And if 2023 is a blow up, I would say that's definitely an out.
So when I was writing my story on Frank Reich last night, I found this stat. Since Reich was hired by the Colts in 2018, he has the 11th most wins of any coach in the league. And that's with four different starting quarterbacks in four years. There's not very many guys in the league that could go with four different quarterbacks in 4 years and still be in the top half of wins in the entire NFL. Frank Reich's doing a damn good job.
I agree.
So back to Nate Oley. This is going to be a big test because it's an unproven guy, but he's getting his shot. He was the assistant defensive line coach last year with the Jets, so under Robert Saleh, who had worked with Gus Bradley, so he knows this defense. And it seems like he's got good energy about him. He really relates with the younger guys because he is a younger guy himself. We'll see. He's going to be charged with getting Kwity Paye, Dio Dangbo, all these edge rushers to reach their potential, and use DeForest Buckner as well at his all-pro level. So it's a risk, but we're going to see if it pays off.
Adding playmakers on offense. I didn't get much out of Chris that said, oh yeah, that's what we're going to do. You know, like, promise you guys, you know, he never does. He goes, of course we want to get more weapons. He is still talking highly of Paris Campbell, how he's still going to have a shot. He's still talking about possibly T.Y. Hilton playing again. Apparently he may still want to play again. And he has faith in T.Y.'s ability in the brain, in his intelligence. And like you mentioned, a possible wide receiver coaching hire could want him to stick around as well. We'll talk about that. But Zach Pascal, he still kind of seems to be high on. He mentions the younger guys, Mike Strawn, and Patman might have to prove themselves a little bit, but what did you take from the conversation about adding playmakers to the offense?
So I like that you bring up Zach Pascal. I honestly have the opposite. I think that this was off season. Chris Ballard's going to go out and spend some money on some playmakers. Just based on what he said yesterday, I think that the Colts are really starting to look into this, and for a couple reasons. So number one, he was asked, I think Kiefer asked him yesterday, whether when he watched the playoffs, if it made him think, maybe I need to switch my philosophy up and put more attention to the wide receiver, because every single playoff team had a huge guy at wide receiver. And Ballard didn't say that he switched, but he said it made me think. So I mean, he's not dumb. He sees these guys out there.
And you can only stick to the process so long before you have to make adjustments if it's not working.
Right.
Because the only, you know, doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting a different result, insanity. You know what I mean? And he's not an idiot.
But he said they need to add more explosive playmakers. Yeah. They need to have someone that can stretch the middle of the field. like a tight end. So you could see him getting a tight end in the draft. You could see them maybe spending some money. They spent money on a tight end before in Eric Ebron. So it's not like they haven't, and they're willing to do it. This is a very,
he just turned out to be an asshole, or he'd still be on the team. Probably
this is a very deep tight end group. And that's why like Mike Gesicki's out there. I mean, he's probably going to go back with the Dolphins, but you got David Njoku who could be going back with the Browns. Hayden Hurst, the guy that I've talked about a couple times, there's some good solid guys, OJ Howard, guys that can make a difference on this team at the tight end group. So that's probably number one. And then Stats Matt brings up my next point, especially with talking about Zach Pascal and Paris Campbell. So Stats Matt says thing with Pascal is he used the past tense like he was saying he was a teammate. He did perform well for us. Things like that. When he was talking about T.Y. Hilton, he was talking about him in the present tense. He was talking about Paris Campbell in the present tense. But when he's talking about Zach Pascal, he talked about him in the past tense. And that's the only player he talked about. So it almost seems like Zach Pascal might have played his last down with the Colts. Not saying he has. I mean, there's always a chance he could come back because the Colts love him. But it just seems like the Colts want to get more dynamic. I'm sure the Colts would love to have T.Y. Hilton back because Chris Ballard gushes about T.Y. Hilton all the time. I think T.Y. Hilton is waiting to see who the quarterback's going to be and what happens as the wide receiver coach. Paris Campbell, when he talked about it, he said, I still have faith in Paris Campbell. The kids just had bad luck. But he also said, can we trust him right now to go out and be our number two or even number three wide receiver? And he said, no. You can't really, because, I mean, you hope Paris Campbell could reach that level. But when he's only played, I think, 15 games in 3 seasons, that's just not good enough. You can't rely on that. So that's why I think that this Colts team, whether it is free agency or the draft, because again, this wide receiver group in the draft is very deep, and you can find some good players in the second or third round. Or if they want to go out and spend some money on someone like Allen Robinson, who had a down year, he could be a little bit cheaper. Guy like Christian Kirk, who could be looking for a payday. Michael Gallup, some of those guys to add with Michael Pittman Jr. I do think adding playmakers is going to be something that the Colts really look into. And I wouldn't be shocked if they add a tight end or wide receiver or both in free agency this year.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's necessary as well. I think whether we make a move at quarterback or not, I mean, if we want to be a successful football team, we got to make a move. If we don't want to be a successful football team and we're more worried about a draft pick next year, maybe we don't make that move. I'm not saying we tank, but I'm insinuating that maybe they don't do everything they possibly can to be a top contending playoff team. I don't think that's our character. I don't think that's our team's. I don't think that's a winning mentality in the long run either. So I doubt it, but we'll see.
I mean, I would not be opposed to having a group that was Michael Pittman Jr. on one side, David Bell on the other, Hayden Hurst as the tight end, and T.Y. Hilton or Paris Campbell in the slot. I mean, I would roll with that. I think that would be a good group. But I did like what Ballard said about getting Nyheim Hines more involved. And he mentioned Nyheim Hines in the group with their top playmakers in Jonathan Taylor and Michael Pittman. And I think one of the main reasons that Nyheim Hines wasn't more involved with you than he was this year was the quarterback. Carson Wentz just he's not a guy that really utilizes his running backs out of the backfield. And that's something that Nyheim Hines specializes in. So,
yeah.
But yeah,
which is weird because he likes his tight ends. I guess he doesn't love his checkdowns, though.
He does not love his checkdowns.
That's fair.
But the Colts offense is better, and it seems like the Colts do better overall when Nyheim Hines is involved in the game plan and Nyheim Hines is being used how he should be used in the Frank Reich offense.
Yeah, I don't think Mike Gesicki is going to be a real option there, Stats Matt. I'm sorry. I'd love to, but I don't think the Dolphins are going to let him go. We'll see. Anything else on the conversation? The T.Y. thing I found shocking. They said also about Doyle, he's not sure yet. They're not sure yet. Is his contract up as well, or is he back if he decides not to retire?
Jack Doyle has one more year on his contract. So if he decides not to, he'll be back. Mo Alley Cox is a free agent.
Right. Okay. Let's move it along to some Colts news, Andrew. Other Colts news. The Colts have re-signed cornerback Marvell Tell III. That was something that surprised me today when I saw it.
I think the Colts are again just looking for cornerback depth and really really secondary depth as a whole. So I mean, they still have high hopes for Marvell Tell. Maybe with the change with Gus Bradley, they want some longer corners. Obviously, I think TJ Carey won't be back. Xavier Rhodes won't be back. So that leaves some openings in the cornerback group. I mean, I'm sure the Colts will probably test the waters and see what's out there in free agency. But, I mean, Marvell Tell getting another year under his belt after he was out for all of 2020. I mean, see if he can come back and compete for a roster spot. I don't have a problem with that at all.
Yeah, that's fine with me as well. This is my favorite topic. Colts in talks to hire former wide receiver Reggie Wayne as their new, not assistant, anything, the wide receivers coach. What do we think about that?
I love it. I love it, honestly. I mean, Reggie Wayne, he did a summer internship he was a volunteer coach a couple summers ago. And honestly, Frank Reich said he's been trying to get Reggie Wayne on the coaching staff for 4 years now. So this is something that he's been wanting Reggie Wayne to and trying to bring him on to help this young wide receiver room. And that's a big reason why T.Y. Hilton, who has admitted that Reggie Wayne is one of his favorite teammates of all time next to Andrew Luck, a guy that he still talks to regularly. I think this is a big reason why T.Y. would want to come back is if Reggie Wayne is coaching the wide receiver group. But you think about it, Reggie Wayne, he passed it along to T.Y. who's passing it along to these guys. Now you have both of them in the same room with all these young wide receivers, not only to teach the ways and how hard that Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison worked in the glory days with Peyton Manning, but to really instill, and Frank Reich said this, that championship mentality, that mentality that you have to work and constantly try to refine your craft every single day if you want to be great. And I think it would be a great hire. I think Reggie would be able to relate with these guys and really give a boost to a wide receiver group that's been needing a boost for quite some time now.
Yeah, and he can stop watching these games at bars listening to dumbasses that don't realize who he is talk about, man, but you don't realize how hard it is.
We'll get to see Reggie Wayne screaming on the sidelines in Lucas Oil Stadium.
Yeah, that'd be pretty awesome. Colts hire, as you alluded to already, Colts hire Jets assistant defensive line coach Nate Ali as their new defensive line coach. We talked enough about that.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, it's going to be interesting to see how he does. I'm excited to see. It's his first shot, and hey, if you don't give a guy a shot, how do you not know what he's going to be able to do? Like I said, he seems like he's really connects with the players, so we'll see. Hopefully it's a good hire.
Stats, Matt. Yeah, that's a good point. Reggie was top tier at showing his hands late, not to give away anything, and I think that can benefit our guys. Yeah, but even better comment here, Stats Matt. I wish you maybe if you were on time, you would have thought of this. Straight Himalaya, great name, by the way. Reggie was a huge reason that Luck was so successful early, as well as why T.Y. Hilton grew so quickly. Absolutely. Absolutely great point. But yeah, so... I have no idea what you just said about Nate Ollie. Where you talked about it. Because I was reading those comments and I was laughing about it.
Nate Ollie, fresh face, not experienced hire, but hey, let's give him a shot. See what can happen. Colts can't be hire. Worse. Can't be worse than Mr. Baker.
That's true. Colts hire former linebacker Cato June to be assistant linebackers coach. Andrew, Frank Frank talked about this. People were like, oh, is that just another Colts name that we wanted to hire? No, this guy's coached at Howard, UMass, Bowling Green. And as you and I were talking about before, he was grinding, coaching, doing things, you know, he earned this spot. This is not a name hire.
Right. And I mean, he even started after his playing career, he started coaching high school ball. So he started at the bottom and has worked his way up. So I'm excited for Cato June to get this opportunity. I mean, you hear the former Colts players talk about how Cato June was right up there with Gary Brackett as one of the leaders in this locker room. I remember Cato June always being the leader of the Colts as far as getting turnovers in those defenses of the.
You mean fluke plays that we can't rely on?
Yeah, I guess so. But hey, I mean, he played the Will linebacker. Darius Leonard plays the Will linebacker. I think this is going to be really good for Darius to kind of help him improve his game. So I love Cato June. You never hear any of the former Colts say anything bad about Cato June, and he really has worked at this coaching to really become a coach in this league. So I'm happy for him.
And the Colts hire former safety Mike Mitchell to be assistant secondary coach.
And I think the big thing about this Mike Mitchell hire, Frank Reich said it, he really wanted a guy in this secondary that can really relate to the players, that's been through the fire. And Mike Mitchell has been through the fire. He's got plenty of experience in the NFL, and he's a guy that when he was here in 2018, he really helped this young group become pros. I mean, I heard a comment that said he taught Quincy Wilson how to watch film and got Quincy Wilson's best season out of him when he was here. So Mike Mitchell, I think, is going to provide. I mean, we still have young guys in this group. Rocky Sin is still relatively young. Isaiah Rogers still relatively young. So those guys are going to really improve from, I think, having Mike Mitchell and his leadership presence there in the secondary.
All right, Andrew, let's see if we can actually keep this hilariously long list of NFL news to the 10 minutes you have allotted in the schedule here tonight. Hilarious. I mean, this is more than half of the entire outline Andrew has here.
A lot of it's just really long.
A lot of it's a lot of BS. According to ESPN's Adam Schefter, 49ers quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo is expected to soon undergo shoulder surgery that would sideline him until this summer. It is not expected to impact his trade status, and Garoppolo is likely to be traded this month. Colts aren't getting him.
I don't think they will. And the thing is, too, I mean, Shefty says it's not going to affect his trade status. I don't know how it can't, though. If you're going to have shoulder surgery and you can't be back until this
summer. Throwing arm, too?
I don't know which arm it's on, but regardless, it's gonna keep you out. It's gonna keep you out all like that through the summer, and you're going to a new team. Man, I don't know, especially with Jimmy G's injury history. I don't know how this doesn't affect his trade status, or at least it doesn't. It diminishes the value that the 49ers can get back from him.
I'm trying to think which hilarious team like would not give a shit and would go after him, but
the Commanders, them,
huh?
The Commanders, the Washington Commanders, would give a good first one. Round That's pick. A good one.
I was going for like, you know, like a Bengals or a Texans or a Jaguars or a Browns or, you know, or Bears, and all of them have like young quarterbacks that they actually believe in right now. So none of them fit the bill.
Commanders or Panthers, I think, would be the two.
God, Commanders. By the way, they're called the Washington Commanders, bro. All right, let's move it along. I'm not talking about Jimmy G all night. Giants GM Joe Schoen says the team is willing to entertain calls for Saquon Barkley. Well, Andrew, finally the day has come. I am not begging the Colts to go trade for a big name running back.
It's about time. you've been on this since Le'Veon Bell was
brother,
making Pro Bowl.
Le'Veon Bell would have had a great career with the Colts.
Well, Lev Bell is now God knows where. but yeah,
interesting. I mean,
does this surprise you? Because honestly, it doesn't surprise me.
Is he allowed to say that?
Yeah, he's allowed to say that. I mean, you could say
other teams can't say that about Saquon Barkley.
Right.
Okay. But what a bold thing to say out loud. I just heard Saquon on an interview recently.
I mean, I think when healthy, and behind a good offensive line, Saquon Barkley can be a very talented running back. But when teams are just constantly focusing on Saquon Barkley because Daniel Jones is back there and can't do anything, then yeah, I think it puts him at a disadvantage. But I mean, Saquon Barkley, I think when healthy, is easily a top 10 back in this league.
Matt says, there it is, Jimmy G for Saquon. You're not wrong. And do they take what happened to Danny D?
Can you imagine Saquon Barkley on the 49ers behind that offensive line and in Mike Shanahan or
49ers going to Super Bowl.
Or not Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan's offense. Man, that's a 1,600-yard, 12 touchdown, 14 touchdown season for Saquon. With Debo Samuel,
might be a 2,000. 2,000.
Yeah, an extra game. I wouldn't go 2,000. He's bound to miss one game.
Let's move it along. Chiefs released linebacker Anthony Hitchens. I believe I saw Stats Matt talking about an interest in this this linebacker.
I don't know if the Colts are interested in him, but I do know that Hitchens has been on the Chiefs for some time, and I think it was primarily a cap move. So, I mean, I'm sure he'll have suitors this offseason for sure.
And Buccaneers Pro Bowl guard Ali Marley announces his retirement. All right. There's a lot of news in here that nobody cares about.
I think when you think about that, though, the Buccaneers, you think about it, Brady retires, Leonard Fournette, free agent, Chris Godwin, free agent.
The Bucs are taking a dive, pal.
Gronkowski, free agent. What's wrong?
Wow.
Anyways, as you
50 minutes in and the podcast decides to stop recording.
Well, that's not great. But anyways, the Buccaneers are definitely I don't know how they can return to what they were unless they pull off a huge trade for Deshaun Watson or something. But I mean, that's going to be weeks down the road, I feel like. Yeah, and their Pro Bowl center Jensen's a free agent too.
Wow. Okay. Cardinals head coach Cliff Kingsbury and GM Steve Keim have agreed to terms on contract extensions through the 2027 season. Oh, well, I mean, that Kyler's gone now, right? He didn't like somebody in there, and it's not Cliff. It might be that GM.
The thing is, Cliff and Kyler are represented by the same agent. So I think Cliff stays. I think Kyler's going to get a deal. I think Kyler's just kind of being a little bit dramatic. I think eventually he'll get a deal.
All right. 2027, that's a long time. They really just committed to a guy who we thought was on the hot seat last year.
Yeah.
Like, they committed hard. Steelers hire former Dolphins head coach Brian Flores, senior defensive assistant, linebackers coach. Absolutely incredible hire for the Steelers. Shocked that Brian Flores took it, but why wouldn't you want to go work with Mike Tomlin?
So the story is, apparently he was calling. He called Mike Tomlin. They were just kind of talking about different things, but and kind of just discussing different things on defense. And it ended up that Tomlin offered him a job on the phone call. So it wasn't even like a scheduled interview or anything. Pretty funny.
And I heard that Flores was loved as the linebackers coach in New England.
Oh, yeah.
So, Chiefs hire Matt Nagy as senior assistant quarterbacks coach. Chiefs made a bad decision. Isn't that where he came from, though?
That is where he came from. Okay. He was the offensive coordinator under Andy Reid before he took the head coaching job for the Bears. So,
and by the way, has Eric Bieniemy gotten hired yet?
Eric Bieniemy is still the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Interesting. Hey, I think this is the biggest news on this list. Which is hilarious. Troy Aikman is leaving Fox to be a lead analyst for ESPN's Monday Night Football broadcast. Deal is $5 million, 5 years, $17.5 million per year. I think that was a bad choice for Aikman, aside from the money, obviously, because a lot of people that work for ESPN just, you know, hate working for ESPN. But if ESPN ever wanted to offer us a job, we're more than happy.
Here's the thing.
No, we're not.
We love Sports Illustrated. What are you talking about? But I think this is I think I texted you this the night that it happened, that Troy Aikman throughout his playing career made $55 million.
He is
going to surpass that in 3 years just broadcasting for ESPN.
Best thing ESPN's done in a while for their Monday Night Football broadcast. Since Gruden's been gone, this is the best move they've made, aside from the Manning cast, which is on ESPN2. So it's a little different. For the main broadcast, this is the best thing they've done.
Main broadcast, yes. Manning cast, still probably going to tune into that.
Do you know that What word is they're trying to get Joe Buck to? Yeah, I bet they are.
Yeah, they are.
And he's going to get paid even bigger. I think, I've read that the Amazon Prime, Amazon's trying to buy the Manning cast from ESPN.
I've heard that. I've also heard that Amazon could be making a run at Al Michaels, because Al Michaels is a free agent. Possibly make a run at Sean Payton. Would you? I think a booth, but then I think Sean Payton is also in Fox's eye because Troy Aikman is leaving. Someone's got to fill that spot. It's going to be interesting to see, Matt, where all these guys end up.
I didn't say they were trying to sign Peyton and Eli. I said they're trying to buy the Manning cast from ESPN. Stats, Matt.
I think
it's thrown off his game.
I think back when Al Michaels was doing Sunday Night Football, or no, it was Monday Night Football with ABC and ESPN or Disney, whatever it was then, I think they traded him. I think the networks did a trade.
Interesting.
And traded him to NBC, and that's how he became the lead for Sunday Night Football.
Interesting. And now Fox is reportedly trying to steal Breeze from NBC. Stats, Matt, bringing in the stats. International game hosts for 2022. Packers, Saints, and Jags will be hosting games in London. Bucks will be going to Germany. That's cool as hell. And the Cardinals will be going to Mexico. They practically are in Mexico, so long travel for them. Are the Colts going to London this year, Andrew? And is that your away game for the year?
No and no. I think it was already announced who will be playing the Jaguars in London, and I don't think it's going to be Indianapolis.
That's fine with me. Although dodging a game in Jacksonville would have been nice.
Well, the Colts, the last time they played in London was against Jacksonville. Still
and
won.
And they lost.
So it doesn't really matter.
That's fair. All right. Listen, guys, here's the thing. I need something from you. Okay? We need something from you. It's season 3. Okay? We want to take this shit up. Okay? So if you're listening to this, if you're watching me, okay? Look at me. Okay? I need you to tell your friends. I need you to tell your family. I need you to tell your boss. I need you to tell every Colts fan you know about this podcast that is far superior to every other Colts podcast. The name, better. The entertainment, better. The knowledge, half better. Andrew's here. Okay? We know what we're talking about. I'm a lot of fun. Andrew laughs at me. And we got Stats Matt. So tell your friends to follow A Colts Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Tell them to listen to the show. Tell them to subscribe to the YouTube. If you're new here, subscribe to the channel. We appreciate you. Andrew, do you have anything for our fans? I don't remember what button's the out button. Here we go. Do you have anything for our fans today?
Great to be back.
Great season to be back. Three.
Excited for the combine. Excited for the offseason. Season 3 is going to be wild, brother. Go Colts.
Hey, until next time, go Colts.
Let this moment become a cherished memory. And then remember, a legacy is only worthwhile when there is a future to fuel. God bless you, and God bless football.